Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time, we're looking at how AI can, well, help us understand our data better.
Yeah, before we even get to the cleaning part.
Exactly, even before cleaning. And we're diving into some really cool research here straight from Curtin University in Australia.
Yeah.
They've basically figured out how to use, you know, the words in your column headers.
Like what?
Like age, country, those sorts of things.
Okay.
To predict what kind of info should be in those columns.
What do you sense?
And get this, it can even flag potential issues.
Oh, wow.
Based on what it like expects to see. So for all of you out there, this means potentially a huge shortcut to understanding your data, saving you tons of time.
I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Definitely. So really what's fascinating here is how this research is all about giving computers this like basic grasp of the language of data.
Yeah, the language of data.
Almost like each column header is, you know, a little signpost.
A signpost, right.
Telling you what to expect. And this research basically teaches the computer to read those signposts.
To read them, yeah.
Okay, so it's like the computer is learning to understand what each column's all about just by its name.
Exactly.
But like, how does it actually figure out if something is off, if something's wrong?
Well, it all boils down to what we call semantic types. These are essentially categories of data, like numerical data.
Okay, so like numbers.
Exactly, numbers. Or, you know, categorical data.
Categories like labels.
Yeah, exactly. Bates and so on.
Gotcha.
So the researchers actually went ahead and created this huge dictionary.
A dictionary?
Yeah, a dictionary of over 1,800 words, words that are commonly found in these column headers.
Oh, wow, 1,800.
Yeah, and they mapped them to these semantic types.
Okay, so like if I have a column named purchase date.
Purchase date.
The system would know it's supposed to have dates in there, right?
Right. Date formatted entries.
Hmm.
And that's where it gets interesting.
Oh, so what happens if it finds something that like doesn't fit?
Doesn't fit, yeah.
Yeah. Like what if it sees a random word or, I don't know, a number where a date should be?
That's when those red flags go up. Let's say it finds a negative value in an age column. Instantly, red flag.
Negative age. Doesn't make sense.
Exactly. It knows that can't be right. Or let's say it sees New York in a city column.
New York. Oh, a typo.
Exactly. A likely typo. It'll pick up on that too.
So it's like a super spell checker for your data.
That's a good way to put it.
But how accurate is this thing? Can it really get all these different types of data just from the column name?
It's surprisingly accurate. They tested this system on 50 different real-world data sets.
50 data sets? Where'd they get those from?
From the UCI Machine Learning Repository. It's a pretty diverse collection.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that.
And get this. It correctly predicted the type of data for 99.35% of the 922 columns it analyzed.
Whoa, hold on. 99.35%.
99.35%. That's right.
That's almost perfect. I can already see how this could be like a total game changer for, well, anyone working with data. Especially when you're dealing with those, you know, big, messy data sets.
Huge ones, yeah.
Imagine knowing about potential problems before you even start digging in.
It's like a head start on cleaning.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop there. They also found that their system could actually catch errors that other, you know, those commonly used data profiling tools miss.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, it actually found 81 missing values that one popular tool completely overlooked.
Wait, 81 missing values? That's huge.
Huge. Most tools, they just look for those empty cells, you know, the blank spaces.
Yeah, the blanks.
But missing data, it can be sneaky. It might be hiding behind placeholders, like question marks, dashes.
Oh, I see, yeah.
This new system, it can see those hidden problems because it understands what should be in that column.
Right. Like those missing values are wearing camouflage.
Camouflage.
And the system's got like special glasses. It sees right through it.
That's a great analogy. It really highlights how this kind of out-of-the-box thinking combined with that semantic understanding can lead to much more effective data cleaning.
Way more effective. So are these researchers like the first ones to come up with this whole idea, using column names to spot data problems?
Well, there are other tools out there that use a similar concept.
Similar concept.
We call it semantic type detection. Like one tool is called Sherlock.
Sherlock.
Yeah, Sherlock. But this research, it takes a slightly different approach.
Different how?
It's much easier for anyone to use, regardless of their technical skills.
So even if you're not like a coding whiz, you can still benefit.
Exactly. That's the goal.
To make it practical for everyone. Yeah.
For everyone who works with data. Absolutely.
This is really exciting stuff. It feels like this could be a real game changer for for how we approach data cleaning, data analysis, everything. But before we go any deeper, I want to make sure like our listeners really get the key benefits here.
Yeah, let's break it down.
This isn't just about like making things faster, right?
It's about ensuring better data quality from the start.
From the very beginning.
And better quality leads to more reliable insights and ultimately better decisions.
Oh, totally. So it's not just about saving time. It's about making our data-driven work more accurate, more reliable. Something we can all get behind, for sure.
And you know, what's really interesting is how this technology can even help us understand those bounded numerical types.
Bounded numerical types, those are...
Yeah, so these are, you know, values that have to fall within a specific range.
Not specific range.
Like age. Age can't be negative.
Right, can't be negative.
Or percentages, those can't be over 100.
Over 100, yeah.
So it's not just saying, you know, this column needs numbers.
It's smarter than that.
It's understanding those numbers. Like, they have these limits based on what the column's about.
Oh, that's really cool. So, like, instead of just saying, hey, this needs a number, it actually knows that the number's got to be within a certain range.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For example, if you're looking at customer data and you see, like, someone's age is 200.
200 years old.
Yeah. The system would instantly flag that as a potential error.
Right. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It's adding that extra layer of... understanding to the cleaning process.
Makes total sense, especially if you're working with like geographical data. You would want to see a latitude of 200 degrees.
Exactly. Wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm starting to see like how powerful this whole semantic understanding can be. It's like you're teaching the computer to think more critically, I guess, about the data it's processing.
It's getting smarter.
So how did they even build this system? It sounds so complex.
Well, they drew insights from some massive data sets, like the Web Data Commons.
The Web Data Commons, okay.
That's got info from millions of websites.
Millions.
And they also use these powerful language models like ChatGPT.
Oh, ChatGPT. Everyone's talking about that these days.
Right, to actually create those dictionaries we talked about earlier.
Oh, wow.
So it's really a blend of cutting-edge tech and a deep understanding of those data quality principles.
It's like they're taking those really advanced tools, but grounding them in like solid data knowledge.
Yeah, that foundation is key.
And testing it on 50 different data sets, that shows like they're serious about making sure this works in the real world, not just, you know, on paper.
Exactly. Real world application. Real data.
And speaking of real world, I remember you mentioned earlier that they compared their system to that popular data profiling tool. Why data profiling, right?
Why data profiling? A popular one.
And it was pretty surprising to hear that their system actually found missing values that why data profiling missed.
Missed, yeah. Totally missed them.
Can you walk us through that a bit more?
Sure. So most data profiling tools, they're really focused on finding those empty cells.
The blank spaces, yeah.
Blank spaces. But missing data, it can be really tricky.
Tricky? How so?
It can hide.
Hide.
Yeah, behind things like, you know, placeholders. Like question marks or dashes.
Oh, okay. Like it's pretending to be something else.
Exactly. This new system, though, it sees those problems because it understands, again, what kind of data should be there.
It's like those missing values are wearing camouflage.
Camouflage, yeah.
And this system, it's got like X-ray vision, sees right through it.
It knows what should be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not fooled.
That's another great example of how that out-of-the-box thinking, you know, combined with the semantic understanding, it just leads to, well, better data cleaning.
Much more effective. Absolutely.
And it's not just about, you know, making things faster.
Right. It's more than just speed.
It's about making sure the info we're using is accurate. It's reliable.
Exactly. Reliable information.
And that's important for, well, any field that relies on data.
Every field.
Business, research, even just, you know, trying to understand the world around us.
All of it. Good data is key.
I'm really curious to see what these researchers do next. They mentioned like incorporating machine learning into their systems.
They'll make it even smarter, yeah.
It's like they're teaching the computer to learn from experience and constantly improve its like data understanding skills.
It's getting smarter over time. It's exciting.
They're also going to test it on even more data sets, right? To make sure it works in all sorts of different situations.
Absolutely. More testing, more fine tuning, making sure it's truly effective across the board.
This is really exciting research. Now, before we wrap up our deep dive into all of this, let's zoom out a bit. You mentioned earlier there are other tools out there, like Sherlock.
Sherlock, yeah.
Which also use that semantic type detection.
Right. They're tackling that same problem.
Can you tell us a bit more about like how those tools work, how they compare to what these researchers have developed?
Sure. So Sherlock, it uses deep learning, a very sophisticated form of AI, basically.
Deep learning. Everyone's talking about that, too.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And it uses that to analyze data, identify those semantic types we've been discussing.
Okay, yeah.
It's been trained on a massive data set of, get this, over 680,000 columns.
680,000? That's a lot of data.
A lot of data, which means, well, it's got a lot of experience to draw from.
So it's like it's seen a lot of data in its lifetime, and it's learned to, like, recognize patterns that we might not even notice.
It's picking up on those subtle clues, making really accurate predictions about what each column represents.
That's super powerful. But you also mentioned that there are some key differences between Sherlock and the approach these researchers took. What are like some of the trade-offs if you're choosing one over the other?
One of the big ones is complexity.
Complexity, how so?
Deep learning, it can be really powerful, but it can also be a bit of a black box.
A black box.
Sometimes it's hard to understand exactly how it's making those predictions.
Oh, so you don't know what's going on under the hood.
Right. And that can make it tricky to, like, adjust or troubleshoot if something goes wrong.
If it breaks, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, it can be tough to fix. The approach these researchers used is a bit more transparent.
More transparent, okay.
Because it relies on that defined set of rules, those dictionaries. It's easier to follow the logic.
You can see the gears turning.
Exactly. So it's a bit like choosing between having a super smart friend who can solve complex problems,
yeah,
but doesn't always explain their reasoning.
Okay, I get that.
Versus a friend who's more straightforward, but still very knowledgeable. Both can be valuable. It just depends what you need.
That's a great way to put it. What about the number of semantic types each system recognizes?
Ah, yes, that's another key difference. Sherlock can actually identify 78 different types.
78?
Well, this system we've been discussing, it focuses on a smaller set, 23, plus some special cases.
Okay, so Sherlock can recognize more. But why would you choose to focus on a smaller set? It seems like more would be better.
It's a trade-off. Having that wider range of types, it can be helpful, but it also increases the risk of errors.
The more types you have, the more chance you get it wrong.
It's like trying to organize objects into very specific categories. It's easy to get things mixed up.
You put something in the wrong bin.
Exactly. By focusing on a smaller set, well-defined types, the researchers are prioritizing accuracy, simplicity, making sure it gets the basics right.
So it's finding that balance, enough detail to be useful, but not so much that it gets confusing or inaccurate.
Exactly. And when it comes to data quality, practicality is key. The goal is to make data cleaning easier, more efficient, not more complicated.
Makes sense. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into the world of, what was it again?
Semantic data understanding.
Semantic data understanding. It's incredible to see how AI can be used to, well, to improve data quality and ultimately make our lives a little easier.
It's all about making data work for us.
Before we wrap up, though, I want to make sure we really highlight the key takeaways here for our listeners, especially for those who are, you know, eager to level up their data game.
Yeah, let's distill this down to the essentials.
All right. So for our listeners who, you know, they live and breathe data, what are the big takeaways from this deep dive?
Well, I think the first one is this research really shows us, you know, the power of those little clues, those column headers.
The column headers, yeah.
They can really boost our understanding and cleaning of data. It's like we've been looking at them forever.
We have, yeah.
But not really seeing them. Not for all the info they hold.
Not really seeing them. That's a great way to put it.
The second takeaway I'd say is just how much time, how much effort this could save us. By catching those issues, those data quality issues early on.
Before we even start cleaning, yeah.
Before the usual cleaning process even begins. Imagine that.
For anyone who's, you know, always pressed for time, that's got to be a dream come true.
It's a huge time saver. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the final takeaway, I think, is that, you know, this research, it's a reminder that the data world, it's constantly evolving, always innovating.
It never stops, does it?
It never stops. By challenging the old ways, exploring new perspectives, I mean, that's how we come up with these creative solutions.
That's how we solve those big data problems, yeah.
Exactly. And it's so inspiring to see these researchers pushing those boundaries, coming up with new ways to, well, to make data work better for us, for everyone.
It really is. It feels like this is just the beginning. I'm excited to see where this kind of semantic data understanding, where it goes next.
Oh, it's a wide open field full of possibilities.
Right.
And as these tools, these techniques become, more sophisticated, more user-friendly,
Easier to use,
we'll all be able to tap into that power of information in more meaningful ways.
I like that. More meaningful ways, yeah. Well, before we sign off, I want to leave our listeners with one last thought, a question to ponder. Imagine, just imagine, if this kind of semantic check, it became the standard for all data
Or
analysis.
everything.
How much cleaner, more reliable, how much more insightful could our whole data-driven world become? It's something to think about.
It really highlights the potential here, the transformative power of this technology. And who knows, maybe one day this won't be just a possibility, it'll be the norm.
That's a future I'm definitely looking forward to. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of semantic data understanding. We hope you found it informative, thought-provoking, maybe even a little bit mind-blowing. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep asking those curious questions. Because when it comes to data, the more we understand it, the more we can unlock its true potential and use it to really make a positive impact on the world.